The following program is brought to you in living color.
You see this earth? It's been resting. Now it's good. Someday I'm going to buy this land and I'm going to make a great wine. Right here on this wreck of a vineyard.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Amazing creature. She deceives everybody.
You swine!
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about that cute little grape but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource for everything about wine. Yes, thank you for tuning in to yet another fun version of The Wine Crush. And I don't know about you, but it's nice to take a break. It's nice to relax and to get away from the miserable weather that we're all encountering. Kent, your mustache is even looking a bit deflated today.
Yeah, I'm wilting. I'm just, there's that word again, wilt.
Wilt. Oh,
there I go, wilting again.
You've been sitting here planning this for weeks, haven't you? What wilt thou do?
That's true. It is very hot. And we're taping, it's right here at the beginning of summer, and it's just, you realize you got three more months of this. I need you to suggest very cool, light wines today.
Well, Kent, everything I suggest is cool. That's all there is to it.
It goes without saying, I guess. Yeah.
That's kind of a given. But you are giving me a lovely segue. But before I get into my wine recommendations, I will let you know we have a great guest today. We have Mr. Stu Smith of Smith Madrone joining us today, and he is going to tell us all about Smith Madrone, which is a one that has been a Wine Crush recommendation in the past. They do a Cabernet, a Riesling, and a Chardonnay that are just absolutely fantastic. So there will be your cool wines, Kent. You can actually have your Riesling and your Chardonnay.
Good. And my Riesling and drink it too. Okay.
Exactly. Only if you have a straw so you can get past the wilted mustache.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can't have it because you spent it. Yes. That was Kent trying to talk through his mustache. But for wine recommendations this week, I realize Kent put me on the spot and I have to have cool and refreshing, but I'm tired of cool and refreshing and I'm going to lose the bet. That's all there is to it because I have found a group of wines I absolutely love. Now, I go out of my way occasionally to buy the odd thing. I do. I make an effort. And yes, for those of you who have sent me the emails and the questions, I do actually buy the wines I recommend. I don't just randomly have them mailed into me. I don't just guess them. No, I do have my own purchase allowance, and I go out and buy wines. But I have found two really cool wines. This may kind of work. It is called Cervello. Cervello's label for the white wine today, the label reads, sexier than a Pinot Grigio, naughtier than a Chardonnay. And if that's not cool, I don't know what it is. Cervello comes from the people that formulate and run Row 11. And I'm not going to go into the story because I'm hoping at some point I can get them on the show because it's really a cool concept about Row 11. But their wines are really fun. But Cervello, sexier than a Pinot Grigio, naughtier than a Chardonnay. This is just great. It is coastal Pinot Gris, Pinot Grigio, and Chardonnay. So it's got a great blend. So what you get is you get great apricot, you get nuts, which Kent should appreciate, of course, but it also has a great acidic finish. So you get this wonderful, wonderful balance for those of you lucky enough to have pools, for those of you who are hanging out outside with large fans, for those of you who are enjoying in our western climes maybe a little bit of rain or enjoying some lovely high elevation snow. This will still go into what you are doing. So Cervello, it is a great blend of Pinot Grigio, and Chardonnay. You try and say that three times very fast.
You just slow down.
I have to. I've got to take a breath occasionally. I'm so excited to be here today that I'm just rushing through my recommendation. See, if I had a glass of Cervello right now that was chilled to about, 34 degrees, I might be able to slow down a little bit.
True. I think it's good, too, that you point out to people. You have never, never recommended a wine on this show that you yourself have not tried.
No, I have not. I would not do that. I think.
Nor are you paid to recommend certain wines, right?
I'm not convinced I'm paid, period, but that's neither here nor there. No, we take nothing in the way of free wines. We taste nothing that is sent to us. We do this on our own. We go out and pick and choose.
That's right. I worry about that sometimes because I think people are out there thinking, well, they're just over there with a bunch of wine open that somebody dumped at the door.
No,
and they're recommending it because they're sitting there drinking it the whole time.
In a roundabout way, we are kind of like Robert Parker. We seek out our own wines to recommend and taste.
That's it.
Now, the weeks our listeners ought to be terribly concerned are those weeks where I gloss over the wine recommendations or the weeks where I might suggest a beer or something unique and different.
Right. Then be concerned.
Yes, those are the weeks I kind of worry about it. No, we don't just make up things on the fly. I promise. So pass the Chivello. Part of this group also makes a Cabernet. It's called the Stratton Loomis Cabernet, and this is straight out of Napa Valley. Now, some of us are spoiled, and certainly it's not me, because as we've established, I don't truly get paid for anything, but a lot of my friends have developed a palate for all the high-end Napa red wines, whether they run 30 to 50, 50 to 70, 70 to 90. Now, the good news is they're very, very good friends, so they do share their red wines with me on occasion, but nevertheless, I have to admit I live on a beggar's budget when it comes to what's going on at the home. Stratton Loomis 2007 Cabernet. This wine is absolutely outstanding. What's great, it comes from Oatville and Rutherford. It's from longstanding relationships and contracts. So I want you to mentally stop and take a moment and think about this. If you're having Cabernet from Oatville and Rutherford, the cheapest price of entry is going to be about $45, $50 a bottle. This wine's not going to reflect that. It's definitely not that high. You should be able to encounter this wine for about $25 at your local Mega Mart. What's also neat this time of year, and even though I can't get into the cool side of things, when you find these Oatville and Rutherford Cabernets, a lot of times, especially in recent vintages, you find the alcohol kind of getting jacked up. You start getting 14.8, 15.2. You find these hot wines, and I'll get into a hot wine definition here in a second. But this Cabernet comes in at 14% alcohol. It's got great cherries. You get that Rutherford dust, and for those of you who have tasted it, you understand what I'm talking about. It's kind of like sitting next to a wet brick, smelling it at sunset, and you just get this lovely, lovely, earthy, fresh, fruity flavor. So Stratton Loomis 2007 Napa Valley Cabernet. It is a lower alcohol Cabernet to go with what you have on the grill, and it just explodes in your mouth. I laugh often about saying that this is not a wine that you need to wait for. This is not a wine. Of course, you can lay it down, but you can buy this, chill it down for 15 minutes, pop the cork on it, and be ready to go and don't have to worry about, oh, did I age it long enough? Did I keep it well enough? No, this Cabernet, if I've encouraged y'all to try anything in the last 6 weeks, this Cabernet is definitely tops of tops. And see, Kent, did you like how I get into the cool part of it?
I really like that.
Even though you put me on the spot, I found a way to accommodate you, as I always do.
And I just thought, too, after all that preaching earlier, I just thought, you know, if somebody would drop off a nice ice-cold bottle of Chardonnay at the door right now, we'll recommend it. I'm in. I'm just that hot.
For our listeners and our sponsors, finally, Kent is for sale. Feel free to finally start the bidding war, whatever you want to do, 877-4-CRUSH-1. We'll sell them off one way or the other. All right, now that I've gotten my giggling out of the way, I did comment on something when I was making my description, and I talked about hot wines, and this seems to be a very good time of year to do the edumacation part of this. Now, hot wines are just not what you leave in your car from the time you've gone to the liquor store, the Mega Mart, the wine store, and on your way home. A hot wine is something that wine experts, aficionados, and sommeliers will use to describe a wine that is higher in alcohol. Now, I am not saying high alcohol wines are bad by any stretch of the imagination, but a lot of times what happens, it falls in the category of a fault in a wine. And it's very hard for me, and it might be hard for some of you, to explain that, yes, alcohol in a wine is a fault. You think that's kind of hand in hand, and it's one of the reasons why you drink. Absolutely not. You drink it for the delightful flavors and how it rounds out your meal. But when it comes down to it, when a winemaker crafts a wine, there are a lot of different things you try and keep in balance. You try and keep the acid in balance. You try and keep the fruit, the oak, anything that's going into the wine. Yes, we all make a point of picking up a glass and smelling it and say, I can smell caramel. I can smell vanilla. I smell fruit. But once we taste it, it should all harmonize. There shouldn't be that moment where you think, oh, wow, this is really flabby, this is really fat. There shouldn't be that moment where you feel like you've sucked on a lemon. On the same token, there shouldn't be that overriding ethanol flavor in a wine. I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. A lot of times, especially this time of year when we talk about room temperature not being 85 degrees and you take a sip of a red wine that hasn't been nicely chilled, you can feel that heat. And that is exactly what we talk about when we talk about a hot wine. Think about whether you had a glass of brandy lately, or think if you had a glass of scotch, or if you had some bourbon, some kind of spirit, and that lovely burn you got on the back of your throat as you swallowed it. You should never get that on a wine. It means it's in balance. So we, even our American Zinfandels that have been known to go up to 15, 9, 16% alcohol, they have enough jamminess and fruit to carry it through. So that is what a hot wine is. It's one where the alcohol shows through, and let's face facts, it's a fault. The winemaker should know better. Okay, there's my lecture for today. Right now, we're going to let you take a reprieve and soak in everything you've learned. Take a quick break, and after the break, we'll have Mr. Stu Smith of Mr. Smith Padron.
Here's to the men who did what was considered wrong in order to do what they knew was right.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
With so many wine choices, it can be difficult to know what type of wine to buy. Lot 18 is a convenient and affordable new way to sample great wines. Each product is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer. This allows us to offer wine shipped to you at low prices.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/TheWineCrush. That's Lot18.com/TheWineCrush.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at zmax.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking.
Hmm.
You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, When you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. You know, we've been very fortunate here on the show, and we've had a lot of great vintners, great winemakers, great chefs, and people in the wine business. But I think some of my favorite things to do is to get guests that, while you say their name, people kind of look at you and say, oh, I know that name. And then all of a sudden you hear the pedigree and you get the background and you get the bio on these people. And you realize that these are the type of people that truly make the wine business in Napa Valley run. Literally run as they do their day in and day out work. And right now we had the pleasure of meeting one of those gentlemen. Right now we have Mr. Stu Smith with Smith Madrone. Stu, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thanks for having me, Laura.
It is a pleasure. You are my favorite type of guest. You are the man that runs everything from behind the scenes. People know your name. All the greats in the business seek you out for your advice. You are truly a wine guru. And I get to share you with everybody.
That's really kind of you, but thank you for that.
You're more than welcome, and you can ask Kent. Stu, I'm really not known for my kindness.
Stu, trust me on that.
It's something I have been working on and been told to work on, but it's just not coming very far these days. So
if you stay in the business long enough, you get there.
I hope so. That or it's going to drive me stark raving mad, one of the two. But then again, I had to be mad to get into it, so I guess it balances out. So speaking of being in the business, for our listeners, if you would not mind, can you give just an encapsulated version of who Stu Smith is and how he came to be in the wine business?
Well, very quickly, I was a student at Berkeley, or as I call it affectionately, Berserkley in the 60s. And there was a revolution going on, and everybody snickers or whatever. But it was a food and wine revolution that was being started in the San Francisco Bay Area. And as I like to say, roast beef wasn't done unless it was gray. Vegetables had to be limp, and exotic cheeses were a Monterey Jack or a Sharp Cheddar or a Velveeta. And all of that started to change, and I got swept up with it. And for me, it was not the food side, but the wine side. And I went on to do my master's work out at UC Davis, and then in 1970, we closed on it early 71, bought a piece of property with some partners and family and friends, and taught winemaking at both Napa and Santa Rosa Junior College for 10, 12 years, and been growing grapes and making wine on the mountain with my brother since 1971. So this is our 40th anniversary of doing this stuff.
Now, see, that within itself is amazing. Two things that really I want to point out to our listeners. One, to have a master's from Davis in the late 60s, and two, to have started a winery in Napa in 71. People can't get a handle on what that is today, Stu. People have this idea of Napa as that beautiful highway. It's always been there, and you go down and you go bar hopping. Can you paint at least kind of a picture of what Napa was in 1971?
Sure, and let me correct a misstatement. I never did get my master's. I was 2 years there. I was the first teach. My claim to fame is, and I'm very proud of, I was the department's very first teaching assistant under Drs. Ameren and Singleton. But anyway, Napa Valley was a much different place. As I like to say, it was pre-wine, pre-Napa Valley, pre-oil embargo, pre-inflation. It was a sleepy little provincial wine industry, an agricultural community, an agricultural county where livestock was the dominant agricultural business, not wine or wineries. I don't think there were 30, 35 wineries in 1970-71. You would walk across the street and say, do you live here? Can we be friends with you? You know, being newcomers. It was very different. It was very friendly, much different than today. There was no idea of corporations or corporate or any of this other stuff. People were extremely friendly. They went out of their way to help you. They were encouraging. Robert Mondavi had only opened his winery for 4 or 5 years. Freemark Abbey had started a few years after that. The names of the time, the big names were Andrei Chelichev at Beaulieu Vineyards. Inglenook was still a major winery to deal with. Sutter Home hadn't invented white Zinfandel yet. They were a little winery that made Zinfandel from Amador County grapes. As a matter of fact, in the summer of 1970, I was working for Andrei Chelichev or with him, and he was complaining about he didn't know how we were going to sell all the Cabernet grapes that were going to be harvested this year. And it was before the white, you know, there was first the white wine boom. And that's how Sutter Home started making white Zinfandel, because all they made was a red Zinfandel grapes. And after that, probably another 6, 7, 8 years, the Cabernet emphasis came. So it really has changed dramatically.
that's a nice way to understate it all the way through. It's no longer this sleepy little farmland where you have to worry about whose cow was that just running down the street.
Oh, there wasn't even a pizza place in Napa County when we moved there. I mean, the major restaurant was called the Grapevine Inn, which is where now Brick's Restaurant is. But between the Grapevine Inn and Brick's Restaurant, it became M. Santa Claus, and they sold Santa Claus or, you know, Christmas presents. It's a very strange county at that time.
Well,
we've got... Yeah, go ahead.
Here's the question then. That's what I'm trying to get up to. You know, obviously you're a pioneer. You knew Napa way back when. You're one of the legends that started the business. So why? Why did you decide that you are going to go to a mountaintop, buy some land, and say, I'm growing grapes? What was the impetus for that?
Well, I wanted to make the very best wine possible. And as I like to say, I wasn't Joe Heights, and to make great wine, you have to have great fruit. Just like fish. You can't make great fish from anything other than the fresh ingredients that you can get.
Well, knowing me to begin with, Stu, it'd be hard for me to make a fish to begin with. But listen, I hate to do this. I have gotten off on a tangent so much asking about your history that we're going to have to take a quick break right here. Do you mind holding on through the break and we can start this up in a second?
You bet.
All right. Quick break here on The Crush. When we return, more of Stu Smith with Smith Madrone.
Sometimes shopping for wine can be intimidating. What if you could have your own team of wine experts to help you discover new wines and great values? Lot 18 members have access to some of the finest wines from around the world, and each selection is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. With more discounts than ever before, Progressive can save you a lot of money on your car insurance.
Savings.
Oh, you can get bigger savings than that.
Savings.
That's close, but you can really save a lot of money.
You're going to get some savings. Savings.
Much
savings.
Better.
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air, would you make make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
This is the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now we're having fun with Stu Smith, the Smith Madrone. Stu, are you still with us?
I am.
All right. Sorry about that rude break. But before we took that, you were talking about what drove you to the top of the mountain to decide to make your own wine back in the 70s.
Well, I've always felt that the best grapes come from the mountains. There's an old saying from Italy, Bacchus loves the hills. And I think there are certain fundamentals in wine, and one of them is that you have to have great grapes to make great wine. You can make bad wine from great grapes, but you can't make good wine from poor quality grapes, and the very best grapes come from the mountain. And so, being good, arrogant Americans, I wanted to do the very best I could, and that meant going to the mountains. Our property is right next to Stony Hill, that makes at the time, then and still to this day, some of the best Chardonnay in California. The vineyard had been in the property had been in vineyards in the 1880s, so I knew it could support grapevines. And you know, youth is ignorance, and just didn't know better. Went full speed ahead. Didn't know I couldn't do it. As a matter of fact, if I knew then what I know now, I doubt that I would have the courage to do that. But like I say, ignorance is bliss, and youth can, you know, just turn a blind eye to any obstacle. And that's what I was. I was barely 20. I was just 22, 23 when I started this.
Well, obviously, the name of the winery is Smith Madrone. Even the densest of us can figure out exactly where Smith came from. Where does the Madrone part come from in the name of the winery?
Well, Smith is not, as I like to say, a great Southern European wine name. And my brother and I both have beards. And Smith Brothers was taken. Now, there's not many of the Smith Brothers cop drops around now, but back then it was a big deal. And we wanted our name into it because, frankly, we put our blood, sweat, and tears into this thing. We do the work. We planted the vineyards. We literally built the winery ourselves. And it sounded better than Smith Poison Oak or Smith Douglas Fir or Smith, you know, Oak Tree. and Smith Madrone. And for years, we were, you know, very important to Italian restaurants. And they would say, "Ah, yeah, Smith Madrone." And I'd go, "Fine with me, just buy the wine.
Don't care what you call it as long as you call it another order."
Exactly.
Well, so we have Smith Madrone. We've named it from Madrone trees and, of course, the name of the family. Now, you have focused on three varietals, is my understanding, since day one. Cabernet, Chardonnay, and strangely enough, a Riesling. Now, Cabernet and Chardonnay, yeah, your wines are outstanding, but I've got to ask, being brave, doing the amazing red and white that you do, where did Riesling come into play?
Well, Riesling is, in my opinion, one of the four great wines of the world. Not one of the great white wines, one of the great wines of the world. And we also planted at that period of time Pinot Noir. And we quickly realized that that was not the right grape for our location. And my brother and I both understood what Rieslings were supposed to be all about. And we cared very much for it. And we have, I think, done a very good job with Riesling. A lot of people think we make one of the best Rieslings in America. And as I like to say, we do our very best not to dissuade them of that notion.
I know that, yeah, you do. To me, you do the best Riesling in Napa. I can't think of anybody else that holds a candle to you.
Thank you for that. You know, realistically, we're in the top running. We've done a couple things that nobody else has done with Riesling. We won a major award in Europe in 1979 at a thing called the Wine Olympics that was put on by the wine and food magazine Go Mio. In 1983, we were the only wine. I petitioned the BATF, our regulatory agency, to call it Riesling, not White Riesling or not Johannesburg. And they said no, and I said, why not? And they said, well, we want you to call it, if you don't want to call it Johannesburg Riesling, call it White Riesling. And I said no, and they said, why not? And I said, because when was the last time you guys had a red Riesling? It's redundant. It's stupid. Nobody else in the world calls it Riesling, White Riesling. And they relented and basically said, fine. So for about 15, 17 years, we were the only winery to call Riesling by its true name. Now, interestingly, the BATF has outlawed Johannesburg Riesling, but they still allow White Riesling, which is still redundant. And then we also, the third thing that we do is we re-release older Rieslings. When they get 5, 6, 7 years old, we'll re-release a small quantity. And that's to show that Riesling is one of the wines that can age beautifully. 15, 20, even a 25-year-old Riesling from a good vintage when it's been stored properly is every bit as good as a similarly aged Cabernet Sauvignon or great Pinot Noir.
I couldn't agree more. To me, the Riesling is Sophia Loren of the wine business. It just gets more graceful and more age-worthy and ageless as it gets older.
Thank you. You and I are on the same page.
Man, it's dangerous to say something like that. Well, as we start moving through this, for our listeners, if they wanted to check out Smith Madrone or if they wanted to see the winery, are you open for them to come visit? Is there a website? How can our listeners learn more about the wine?
We're told we have a pretty good website. It's smithmadrone.com. It's fairly interactive. It's not one of these websites that somebody puts up and 5 years later it's the same thing. We're always changing it. We're always putting up different things. We welcome visitors to the mountain. We are a winery that is open by appointment, which I would like to have all your listeners understand. That's not the way we want it. That's the way our permit is granted to us by Napa County.
We had a whole show trying to explain that one day, and I think we wound up confusing more people than others. But ultimately, it doesn't mean that just because you're appointment only, you aren't going to see people, correct?
Oh, absolutely. All you got to do is call up and say, you know, we'd like to come Tuesday at 3 o'clock, and if that slot's open, you know, you come Tuesday at 3 o'clock. And one of the things that we do differently is that it's either myself or my brother that show you around. So you get one of the owners who are hands-on. We are the grape growers. We are the winemakers. We're the ones who show you around. And we also, except during harvest, we don't double up people. So if you're a party of 2 or 3 or 1 or 15, you get that slot. We don't mix in people from all across the country. Some wineries say, okay, we do tours at 10 and 2, and whoever shows up at 2, that's, you know, there's a whole bunch of you. what we found is that people are a little intimidated to ask questions when they're there with people that they don't know. And we think the visitors have a richer environment when they feel comfortable to ask any of the questions that they want to. And between myself and my brother, we can honestly answer just about any question that somebody can think of, because we've been doing this so long.
Yeah, it is hard to catch experts off guard. But, Stu, what you're doing, I think, is absolutely amazing. And for our listeners, I hope you're paying attention to that, because too often you get thrown into a bus, you get thrown in a situation where you have to deal with people who are asking questions for the sake of asking questions. So, Stu, hats off to you and your brother for what you're doing at Smith-Madrone. Well, thank you very much for being... Yeah, thanks for being part of the crush today. It is a delight to have you on, and hopefully our listeners will take you up on your invite and come visit you on your mountaintop.
Thanks very much.
All right, another quick break here on the crush, but when we return, the show is all about you. We'll take your calls, your emails, and follow up on some things that Stu has enlightened us with.
I've been drinking wine recently. That's a sign of maturity, drinking wine out of the box. Right from that rubber spigot.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
With so many wine choices, it can be difficult to know what type of wine to buy. Lot 18 is a convenient and affordable new way to sample great wines. Each product is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer. This allows us to offer wine shipped to you at low prices.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/TheWineCrush. That's Lot18.com/TheWineCrush.
I'm sitting at mid-court, and the last time around, the wave took out half of my Coke. And it's coming again. We, the fans, must stop this wave and protect our Coke. It's still coming. Cheerleaders, fire the t-shirt guns. Buzzer guy, distract them with buzzing. Wolf, howl. Hold on! Looks like we did it. Nice job, everybody.
Coca-Cola, open happiness.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Mozartoasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
Make more friends and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. A special thank you goes out to Stu Smith, owner, proprietor, guru, winemaker, vineyard manager, everything for Smith-Madrone Winery. Now, it's interesting to talk to someone like Stu, as I kind of gave into when I was doing his introduction, because if you truly think about the history of Napa Valley, you have to think of these people as the pioneers. It is people along the lines of Stu Smith that have crafted what you experience when you go out to Napa. They're the reasons we're here. If you really want to take it a step further, for most of you that are listening to The Crush today, it is because of the work of people like Stu Smith that you take an interest in wine, that it's available in a mega mart, and you can get your hands on something outstanding. One thing we did not get to cover that much in that segment, and I'm sorry, I wish I could get Stu back, was talking about the fact of mountain fruit. And I started out edumacating you, and I'll certainly continue on edumacating you. You have to think about Napa Valley in 1971. There wasn't necessarily the infrastructure that's there now. A lot of dirt roads, a lot of gravel roads. And for people to come up, you hear the stories in the 60s of the Davies going up, of Heights going up, of Mondavi creating what he created up there. You hear about the Barretts, you hear about everybody that came in, made their own little fiefdom, and moved on. But it's the people like Stu Smith who kind of looked up. They didn't just look at the valley floor. They didn't look at what was in the lower bowl. They decided that where they wanted to be was at the top of the mountains. So not only did they find the property, generally there were orchards there before. In Stu's case, he was lucky there was grapes there before. They had to literally create the road, create the foundation to give us the amazing things we find today, whether it's Howell Mountain, Spring Mountain, whether you find these amazing things coming off Diamond Mountain that we're allowed to taste and be part of today. Because of people like that, we know that the intense, rich blackberry, the black fruit that we get off the mountains, really makes us into the cult Cabernet lovers that we are. So a special thank you to Stu. Something else that he mentioned that I want to touch on, because it does cover a multitude of your emails. By the way, we are very user-friendly around here. We encourage you, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com, to go to our Facebook or website, which is Wine Crush Radio or winecrush.com. And of course, for those of you who feel like talking to Kent so he won't wilt consistently, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Do reach out to us. But something I realize, if I could help every single one of you and be a travel advisor, I'd love to take the phone calls. I'd love to help set you up. But ultimately, given the scope of things, I can't. But let me point out something that Stu said. When you get to Napa Valley, Sonoma Valley, any of the wine districts really on the West Coast, grab yourself a Valley Key. And when I say key, I literally mean K-E-Y. These are great magazines that will list out for you every winery that's available, the phone numbers, and they'll let you know if they're available by appointment or if you can actually go in and wander in. What is great for those of you, I talk to you all the time. Trust me, I start out every event I do by asking who's been to Napa. Can we not talk about it again? But for those of you who are going out for your second or third time and you really want to experience Napa Valley one-on-one and learn something about the wines and not just see tasting room and got the t-shirt, been there kind of thing, take a point to call these wineries. Smith Madrone makes a great example of it, because what happens if you call ahead and you set an appointment, say I want to see Smith Madrone tomorrow, I call them today and see if they're available. What is so imperative, and this is truly what the heart and soul of the wine business is about, is generally someone in their sales office, someone in the viticulture office, someone in the winemaking office, or more often than not, an owner or somebody with the same last name, is the person who is going to take the time to get you on a tour, to take you through the tasting. And if you want to talk about a life experience you will never forget, is to be able to sit down across the table from, say, Stu Smith, as he describes his Cabernet and tells you about the harvest and how it was harvested and what went into it and what to taste. And the most important thing you can realize when you're having that experience is there's no such thing as a stupid question. For those of you who enjoy going out and asking questions for the sake of asking questions or for showing off, bless your heart, stay in the main tour, stay in the Disneyland down on the floor. But everybody else, when you have a chance to ask Stu Smith, was it raining when you picked this? How does it make the flavor change? That is worth a lifetime in the classroom. For those of you who ask me constantly, what's the best way to enjoy my Napa vacation? Coupled with, how do you get educated about wine? How do you learn to take the exams? How do you know what you know? This is how I know 40% of what I know. It is simple dialogue. It's sitting down and having the opportunity to sit down with these legends and have these conversations. And it's not because I'm a media diva. It is not because I have spent this long in the wine business. It's because I took a chance and dialed a phone number. And I encourage all of you out there to do it. So that right there should cover the 18 emails I got about how to go to Napa, when to go, who to call, what to wear. I didn't cover what to wear. We'll do that on another show. But how to get the most out of it, that's it. Grab your Napa key or go on a website is the best thing I can do. Once again, I give this piece of advice every year for those of you traveling. Do not schedule more than an appointment in the morning and an appointment in the afternoon. You will regret it, because if you're fortunate enough to get a situation like I just described, sitting down one-on-one with somebody, you're going to hate to have to rush out of that. So there we go. There's my educating. There's my lecturing for today. Now, I do my spider crawler and pull things in, and I have this most interesting article, and I want to know what you think about it. And by the way, between now and the end of the segment, we'll certainly touch on your responses on what you thought about last week. But there is a brand new company, and what they are doing is they are refilling and reusing wine bottles. Now, I'm into the recycling thing. I can't say I'm as green as I should be. I don't necessarily worry about carbon negative footprints and things of that such, but I do try and recycle. But somewhere along the lines, the idea of my Chardonnay wine bottles being reused or having been used, I'm not really sure what I feel about that. I don't know what the rest of you feel about that, and I'd like to get an idea. Now, the article goes on to talk about the new company. What they're doing is that the U.S. wine industry estimates that Americans purchase more than 300 million cases of wine annually. Somebody do the math. 300 million times 12, that's going to be 160 million bottles of wine. Kent, I don't know. You're supposed to be the math expert on this.
I know 99 bottles of wine on the shelf. 99 bottles. That's all I know.
Yeah, we're down to 97 now that you've been back in the booth. Anyway, the whole point is we are looking at a lot of bottles of wine that need to be recycled. But this company is taking them from tasting rooms. They're taking them from wineries that may not have filled them or not have used them. And they are turning them back over, washing them, and putting them back out on the bottle market. I want to know what you think of that. I want to know what your comfort level is of that. Call me, 877-4CRUSH1, or email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com. Once again, we have talked ourselves into a break, but when we return, we'll talk a little bit about next week, and we will also discuss the upcoming shows coming up.
Little glass of wine.
Norrie wants us to finish this bottle and then three more. Says he'll water his garden with champagne before he'll let the Germans drink it. He's looking at you, kid.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
Sometimes shopping for wine can be intimidating. What if you could have your own team of wine experts to help you discover new wines and great values? Lot 18 members have access to some of the finest wines from around the world, and each selection is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
Convenient? You could say that.
Lots of branches, lots of ATMs, online, on your phone. When it comes to ways to bank, Bank of America's got it covered.
With so many ATMs, I can do my banking anytime, anywhere. There's one right by work.
I've got a Bank of America near my gym.
There's one near my home, near where the kids play soccer.
I like to do my banking online. Pay my bills, set up alerts. It's fast, secure.
I'm more of a mobile person. With Bank of America's mobile app, I can use my smartphone to transfer funds, check my balances, right here in the grandstands during a yellow flag.
Bank whenever, wherever, however you want. With Bank of America, the official bank of NASCAR. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com.
Requires enrolling in online banking. Carrier fees may apply. Online bill pays and optional service alerts not available in Idaho or Washington. Bank of America NA, member FDIC, copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc., copyright 2011, HGJ Licensing, LLC.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at Z-Max.com.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-yah! Brick walls. Hi-yah! Trees. Hi-yah! Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Once again, special thank you to Stu Smith, the Smith Madrone, for joining us here on The Crush today. It's always great to have someone of his level of expertise here on the show. But I have to reach out to you, our listener, because I have never found something that has been so divisive. I talked about this in the last show. What I'm referring to is whether or not to tip your sommeliers, whether or not to tip on wine, whether or not that your sommeliers or your waiters, how to handle that situation. I had stated in the last show that ultimately I had never found such a conundrum for wine professionals. But when it came to all of you had no set answer either. So here's what I am proposing. We need to get on Facebook. We need to get on the Wine Crush website. And we need to try as a group of people to set the standard. Let's figure it out. Tip the sommelier, not tip the sommelier. It can be called the Crush Standard. Let's figure out what we want to do. This is going to involve all of you picking up a phone, picking up an email, picking up a text, and letting us know what you think it should be. We'll get around to it. We'll put it on the website so it'll be a poll. So we'll take your best answers so that we can go through and say, hey, these are the 4 answers. What do you suggest? 877-4-CRUSH-1 or Laura Lawson at winecrush.com. Kent, did you give it any more thought? What do you think?
I think that you don't, because you mentioned that they're part of management.
In some cases.
And usually you don't tip management.
No, we all know that. Hey, management just has tips for you before it's all said and done. So it's always interesting to figure out. But I do want to hear from you. Let's see if we, the Crushers, can set a standard. Well, once again, here at The Crush, we're reminding you, as always, to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there's truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.